again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins. We've got some good video game music lined up for you today, so have a listen and hope you enjoy. So, welcome to the show. In a previous show, I talked about the game Dishonored. Now, I normally don't like dating my game, but I'm just going to say now, it's been recently announced that Dishonored is going to have a sequel, and I am happy about it since it's a good game, and I like more good games, and that's fun. As I said in the previous show about Dishonored, the fun thing about it is how you had multiple ways of going about it. You could either be stealthy and avoid guards and work your way through this kind of like Victorian sort of England thing and avoid the guards and then just sneak through across, or you could just go take out your sword or maybe your pistol and just go on a bloody rampage and kill everyone who steps in your way. And of course, the game would adjust depending on which one. One of the fun things about it, of course, is that this led to different approaches. And like, for instance, there's one time you're at a dinner party and you have to basically either assassinate or just get rid of one of the hosts. Unfortunately, her and her two sisters have ended up putting on their masks and saying, you know, there's a prize if you can reveal which one of us is the real, is each sister, if you can identify which one of us. And of course, you go into them and saying, wait a sec, which is the real sister? So you could either go through this shell game in two ways. Either A, you know, talk to the guests, find clues, identify the identity of the real sister by just figuring all this sort of stuff out, possibly even by going up and rummaging in their rooms upstairs. Or you can just do the thing which in the shell game is effective to just slamming a hammer down and everything and just go on a rampage and just kill absolutely everyone. And you take out all of them, it's one of them is correct. Of course, if you do that, it is completely terrible, and it also throws the dinner party which is going on into complete chaos, and all these guards start shooting at you, and it gets very, very messy, and it's completely bloodbath, and it is all terrible and all agony, all chaos, very destructive to everything around you. Which is why, at least in the first time, I actually did go for the more subtle, clever, you know, surgical thing going in and out with hopefully no one noticing. The first time. Yeah. Okay, on that note, why don't I play some music? I've played music from the game before. It's got a good ending theme, as you may have heard, and also got some decent music in the middle of it. But this is a track that actually doesn't appear in the game as such, but was basically used in its E3 promotion and, you know, and trailers for the game before it was released. Now, the game does actually turn up in some form in the game itself, but before I do, I'll just play it and have listen to it. It's based on a very classic popular sea shanty, which I think you may know of already. So, without further ado, here is from the video game Dishonored, Drunken Whaler. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. And what you just heard there was Drunken Whaler. It was composed by Copolis Strategies in Sound and Music and based on the sea shanty Drunken Sailor, and it is from the video game Dishonored by Arkane Studios. As you can hear, it's referring to a whaler rather than a sailor. This is part of the plot in Dishonored, because in Dishonored, essentially, it's kind of like an alternate universe thing where whale blood has turned out to be this marvelous source of energy. So basically, well, whale oil, actually, it's called. So, I mean, whale oil sounds like it's just petrol, but somehow they're able to, like, feed it directly into electrical machines. So it's almost like a battery as well. And they don't even seem to be any waste products, which is kind of weird and interesting. So I guess it's like burning hydrogen or something. But the whole point is it's basically this whale oil is so vital. So, of course, a huge amount of the economy and even part of the culture of Dishonored is based around whaling, as gigantic ships go out to try to capture the whales. You can see ships go by with gigantic whales strung over the stern, and indeed parts of the game also take place in a whale factory where they take the whales and do terrible things to them in order to harness their precious whale oil. Yeah. Obviously, it's pretty crazy, but it does a lot of stuff in the game, and of course, you often have to carry these great big tanks of whale oil. Of course, if you throw them too badly, they will blow up on you, but at the same time, if you use them against your enemy, you can blow up your enemies, so it all kind of is just messy for pretty much everyone involved. If you listen to the game also, to the song also, it also references a few other things in the game, which is fairly nice. For instance, there's the rats. It talks about, you know, feeds them to the rats. In the game, using rats to basically get rid of corpses is kind of a gameplay mechanic, so that, you know, it gets rid of the body and then people aren't alerted by it and stuff. I didn't really use it that much, at least in my first playthrough, because either I was playing it so stealthily I didn't want to kill anyone or get rid of anyone, or at least didn't want to kill anyone, or else I was just playing it so such a maniacal person that anyone who stood in my way would pretty much be taken down, and I didn't really care who saw the dead body, because if they did, they'd probably become one themselves sooner or later. And of course, there's a whole thing about shooting them in the heart with a loaded pistol, which of course makes sense because there are pistols in this game which you may or may not use. Okay. As I said, Dishonored, a very fun kind of, like, you know, game that lets you play a couple of different ways. It's got some very atmospheric things to it. It's got a pretty nice story to it as well. Some people said it was a bit predictable, but I thought it was pretty decent. And yes, it's basically, like I said, you are a dishonored bodyguard. You're one who meant to protect the queen and then suddenly finds that the queen is now dead and you're blamed with her murder. And it's all about trying to deal with the regime that's taken over from her and put the queen's daughter, the princess, back in place. Although why she keeps being called, well, the empress, I guess. Okay. Last show I was talking about the Red Faction series. I got all the way up to the third game, conveniently skipping over the second game. So now I'm on to the fourth game. Now, as I said, in the third game, in Red Faction Guerrilla, this game was all about, you know, going around the surface of Mars, destroying enemy, you know, EDF, all this bad military things, defeating them. So you're leading a rebellion, or at least helping a rebellion, to suddenly recapture Mars and let Mars work for its own interests, rather than those crummy EDF people who are just going around and, you know, just, you know, killing people in the streets and doing bad stuff like that. Actually, one of the interesting things I said about the game is that the developers introduced real physics into their buildings, so that, you know, by attacking the building, the weak point, the building could actually collapse, or you could just do the fun thing where you drive a car right through the wall of the building and then drive it out the other side, or more likely get stuck in the middle of the building and find your wheels aren't contacting the ground and you're kind of stuck. Or you could just, you know, use your hammer and blast into one side of the building and blast out the other. One of the interesting things about actually realistically modeling the physics of the structures is that normally when an artist creates a building, they create a nice building in an art program, put it into the game, and it's fun. With Red Faction Guerrilla, they were finding that they would create a building, put it into the game, and found out that the building was actually so badly designed that it collapsed under its own weight. Literally, they say, "This is a nice building," into the game, crumple. Whole building fell down. This meant that the artists ended up having to actually learn about engineering and actual structural design so that they could turn around and build buildings that would actually stand up under their own weight. I find this hilarious, but also it really just demonstrates how a lot of games are getting very strong into the actual simulation aspect of it. It just shows that I love it when a game just has a series of rules and it works by them. And Basically, it just shows that how advanced the game were coming, that artists were now having to say, I need to make sure that this great artistic building that I've got sketched out on this piece of paper will actually still stay standing when I bring it into this video game, which is still make-believe. It's kind of fun. So that was the third game, but then we move on to the fourth game, and without further ado, here's a track from it. It's called The Swarm. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. We'll be right back. And that was The Swarm. It was from the video game Red Faction Armageddon, and it was composed by Brian Retzel. So, what does Red Faction Armageddon actually do? Well, it kind of took the franchise back to kind of its roots in maybe not the best way. In Red Faction 1 and 2, it was a first-person kind of corridor shooter. You went through all these locations, shot at people, kept going on. Red Faction Guerrilla, which was the third game, took it in a different direction. It says, you know, you're a single person, there's the great landscape of Mars, you can go here and destroy this building, or here and do this mission, or here, or here, or here. And every time you destroyed a building, unless it was like restructured just so you could use it for a mission, then that building would say destroyed for the whole time, so you could like drive through the surface of Mars and see that building and look at it at a great gaping hole in its side and say, hey, yeah, I remember causing that hole. Good times, man. Good times. Armageddon, as we said, they decided to take all that open world action stuff and completely ignore it. Instead, they basically kind of went back to the first game in saying, let's just have this path and a set of levels and levels you go through one after another and just all the way till the end of the game. And you know all those buildings things? Well, let's just make sure that every so often you get to a nice whole building area where you can destroy and blast stuff out or blow up buildings. And then you can just leave them behind and move on to the next set of buildings, never seeing your previous set of destroyed buildings ever again. It was actually, you know, an interesting idea. Some people complained that it wasn't quite executed well or whatever, but the game is pretty fine. To be honest, if I'd played a lot of games similar to it, such as Dead Space, which I haven't got around to and never really played Dead Space, but some people complained it was similar to that or other games. So if you play a lot of this sort of games, you might find it a little more generic than usual. But I found it okay. There was a lot of buildings to destroy, and there was a lot of... Oh yeah, that's another thing. You get attacked by space insects. Well, technically not from space, they're Mars insects. You kind of accidentally unleash them at the beginning of the game, and then you kind of screw over the entire planet. And this is after you've screwed over the surface of Mars, so now you barely spend any time on the surface of Mars. So whereas in the third game you were going happily through seeing the Martian sky above you and the Martian terrain, now you're more or less constricted to a bunch of underground locations with some exceptions. I'm not giving this game a very good review, am I? Aside from that, there are some fun things about the game. Aside from blowing up buildings, you get this really cool thing called a magnet gun, which actually I later learned may have ended up being used in a possible Half-Life spin-off, but I don't know what to do with that is. Basically, you shoot the magnet gun at one location, which might be like a building or a space alien, then you shoot it at another, which might be a wall, a building, or a space alien, and suddenly the two things get pulled together with ginormous force. So, for instance, you get two aliens coming at you, you shoot one, and then which is fine, he comes at you, then you shoot the other, and suddenly they fly towards each other and smash themselves into pieces. Or you shoot an alien, and then you shoot at the ceiling, which is way, way cavernously above you, and watch as the alien suddenly gets pulled straight up into the ceiling at a huge rate, flying higher and higher until he hits the ceiling and goes away with a splat. Or then there was another kind of funny thing going. I saw an alien and he was on the surface of a building, so I shot at the alien, but he jumped away from it just at the last second, so my shot hit the building. So then I turned and saw where he was now, and I shot my second shot at the alien, and suddenly watched as the building I'd shot at first suddenly tore itself apart, ripped into a gigantic tornado thrust of flying shrapnel and smashed him into smithereens. And that became quite a lot of fun, you know, using buildings as basically ammo. Oh, there's a building, shoot it. Oh, there's an alien, shoot at the alien. Suddenly the building basically breaks it down. So you might as well call them the Witches of the West. So it's fun like that. You can blow up a lot of buildings. You've got a nice selection of weaponry, which kind of gets a bit inventive, but also kind of doesn't. And the magnet gun is always there to keep things amusing. I will say something about the plot, though. It is a typical video game plot, quite average, in which case I mean not very good. Game plots are kind of, you know, hamstring a lot, because normally it's just delivered through a set of very short cutscenes, throughout the game, and sometimes you can get like a bit of exposition during the game, but sometimes it's just tricky because the plot is kind of generic in the first place, so it's hard to convey, but bloody bloody blah. But of course, even at that given, and even though the plot isn't that good, or maybe a bit generic, or maybe there isn't a real meaningful thing that's behind the plot, or even the very good characters behind the plot, the game ends on one of the gigantic, most idiotic things possible that pretty much fit the definition of why didn't you do that in the first place. And as for what this why didn't they do that in the first place is, well, the game doesn't even well, I don't want to spoil the game, but trust me, it ends by them doing something that they could have done far, far earlier on, saved themselves a lot of trouble, and you know something? It wouldn't have even been that big of a deal. They never give any explanation why they didn't do it. But enough of that. It is time to end the show with Red Faction. It was also composed by, well, that's the song, the music title, Red Faction. It was also composed by Brian Reitzel, and is also from the game Red Faction Armageddon, which, of course, was developed by Volition Studios, who developed pretty much all the Red Faction games. So with that, this has been David Collins with BitNote. You can follow us on BitNote FM on Twitter, and we're also on Facebook, and also BitNoteFM.com, where you can listen to previous episodes. And remember, if you've got any sort of podcasting service, whether on your iDevice or other thing, just search for BitNote on it, and hopefully you'll be able to get our podcast stream and be able to listen to this in previous episodes. So this has been David Collins with BitNote. Keep listening, have a listen, and hope you enjoy.